chapter 24, the second angel's message. The churches would not receive the light of the first angel's message, and as they rejected the light from heaven, they fell from the favor of God. They trusted in their own strength and placed themselves by their opposition to the first message, where they could not see the light of the second angel's message. But the beloved of God, who were oppressed, answered to the message, "Babylon is fallen," and left the fallen churches. Near the close of the second angel's message, I saw a great light from heaven shining upon the people of God. The rays of this light seemed bright as the sun, and I heard the voices of angels crying, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him." The midnight cry was given to give power to the second angel's message. Angels were sent from heaven to wake up the discouraged saints and prepare them for the great work before them. The most talented men were not the first to receive the message. Angels were sent to the humble, devoted ones and constrained them to raise the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Those entrusted with the cry made haste, and in the power of the Holy Spirit spread the cry and aroused their discouraged brethren. This cry did not stand in the wisdom and learning of men, but in the power of God, and his saints who heard the cry could not resist it. The most spiritual received this message first, and those who had formerly led in the work were the last to receive and help swell the cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." In every part of the land, light was given upon the second angel's message, and the cry was melting down thousands. It went from city to city and from village to village until the waiting people of God were fully aroused. Many would not permit this message to enter the churches, and a large company who had the living testimony within them left the fallen churches. A mighty work was accomplished by the midnight cry. The message was heart-searching and led the believers to seek a living experience for themselves. They knew that they could not lean upon one another. The saints anxiously waited for their Lord with fasting, watching, and almost constant prayer. Even some sinners looked forward to the time with terror, while the great mass seemed to be stirred against this message and manifested the spirit of Satan. They mocked and scoffed, and everywhere was heard, "No man knoweth the day and the hour." Evil angels exulted around them, urging them on to harden their hearts and to reject every ray of light from heaven, that they might fasten them in the snare. Many professed to be looking for their Lord, who had neither part nor lot in the matter. The glory of God they had witnessed, the humility and deep devotion of the waiting ones, and the overwhelming weight of evidence caused them to profess to receive the truth. But they were not converted. They were not ready. A spirit of solemn and earnest prayer was everywhere felt by the saints. A holy solemnity was resting upon them. Angels with the deepest interest had watched the result, and were elevating those who received the heavenly message, and were drawing them from earthly things to obtain large supplies from salvation's fountain. God's people were then accepted with him. Jesus looked upon them with pleasure. His image was reflected in them. They had made a full sacrifice, an entire consecration, and expected to be changed to immortality. But they were destined to be again sadly disappointed. The time to which they looked expecting deliverance passed. They were still upon the earth, and the effects of the curse never seemed more visible. They had placed their affections on heaven, and in sweet anticipation had tasted immortal deliverance, but their hopes were not realized. The fear that had seized upon many of the people did not at once disappear. They did not immediately triumph over the disappointed ones. But as no visible wrath of God was felt by them, they recovered from the fear they had felt and commenced their ridicule, their mocking and scoffing. The people of God were again proved and tested. The world laughed and mocked and reproached them, and those who had believed without a doubt that Jesus would then come and raise the dead and change the living saints and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever, felt like the disciples of Christ. "They have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him."